Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew.
What's good, y'all? I am Ja, so focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Mixtape Podcast.
This is episode 59.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can check us out first on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, check us out on our website, knickstake.com.
And if you love what you hear, make sure to subscribe to us on our platform that you're listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button, the notification bell if you're listening on YouTube. And most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans that you know and your family, friends that you know that are Knicks fans. Just share it to them. You know, they're gonna rock with us. Just trust me. This is going to be one of the best Knicks podcasts out there. So just stay in tune and just lock in with us.
You heard? All right. This week on the Knicks Take Podcast, we are going to go over the last of the preseason games. Mm-hmm. We're going to go over Knicks versus the Timberwolves, Knicks at Boston, Knicks versus the Washington Wizards. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we're going to preview the regular season games against the Celtics and against the Hawks.
Yeah.
So starting from the top, we've played against the Minnesota Timberwolves this past Saturday, right after we recorded last week.
In the Garden.
In the Madison of the Square of the Garden. I gotta say that even though, there wasn't regular minutes for some for the players, the Knicks and the Timberwolves definitely treated this game like a regular season game for a lot of that, for probably about 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, definitely the first half.
It was definitely very intense game. RJ and Mitch both continued to impress. Mm-hmm. Brunson didn't really look amazing, but overall, I just really enjoyed this game. I really thought that, this is how we should expect the Knicks to come into the regular season. Same thing as with the first preseason game against the Celtics. I really thought that they brought their all. I really thought that the Knicks really just showed out. RJ Barrett, once again, went to the line a ton of times. Mm-hmm. 12 free throw attempts, converted 9. Went 9 for 12. That percentage, that free throw percentage could be better. But the fact that he went to the free throw line so much, mm-hmm. it's just definitely a really good, preview of what we should be expecting for this regular season. We should be expecting him to really just get to that line, really, show his physicality, fight through some of these fouls and get in converting. His field goal percentages and his field goal percentage and his 3-point percentage hasn't been great, but I've been loving some of the decisions he's been making. Mitchell Robinson always looking, just powerful this preseason.
Strong,
very strong, grabbing those rebounds, going right back up with it, not succumbing to some of the things that people were complaining about in his series against the Miami Heat, where he was fumbling the ball and all of that. He was doing putbacks, tapping the ball back into the hoop after one of his teammates missed. He went 4 for 4, and he scored 8 points, had 7 rebounds in 21 minutes. And if Mitch is playing like this every night, I think that the Knicks are going to do very well in this regular season.
Yeah, and the box score is it kind of shows you that, because Brunson only played 14 minutes, you said he didn't really play as well, but you could tell that when he was on the floor, the team played better. He led the team in plus minus. He had a plus 15, even though he didn't have it going as much as he really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Randle had a plus 11. And in the second half, you saw a lot of the bench players playing a lot of minutes, and they all have negative plus minus grades for the most part. So
I feel like part of that had to do with Emmanuel Quickley's poor play, though. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Quickley went 2 for 9, 22% field goal percentage, didn't hit any of his 3-pointers. He didn't have a great game, and he's one of the players on this team that when he's on the court, usually he has some sort of positive impact, even if he's not shooting well, at least defensively. And I just didn't really get that impact from Emmanuel Quickley, which is probably why that bench unit really didn't do so well. He had a minus 21 in the plus minus, which means that the other team scored 21 points while he was more than the Knicks when he was on the court.
Right.
So really, the bench unit really does kind of depend on Emmanuel quickly. If Jalen Brunson isn't on the court, if Julius Randle's not on the court, especially, you know, if both those guys are not on the court, yeah, RJ Barrett can be that primary scorer and all of that stuff, but Emmanuel quickly is the glue that holds it all together.
For sure.
So the last thing, you know, that real big thing that really probably swung this in the favor of the Minnesota Timberwolves winning this game 121-112 was Naz Reid. Why he went off like that?
Went and hit 5 threes on this.
He went 5 for 8 from the 3-point. Is he like that? Because I mean I know he can hit the three, but 5 for 8, you know, made more than half of his 3-point shots. He was hitting them like he was Larry Bird out there. Like, I don't understand why he went off that way.
It's the Garden effect. Every role player comes into the Garden, and he's not the last one in this preseason to come in and just light us up from three.
Yeah. So yeah, you like to
foreshadow
a lot, sir. I'm not sure how much I like that foreshadowing. But he also he had that little altercation with RJ Barrett in the game too. And somebody posted something, you know, I'm not sure if it was on Twitter or Instagram, but
it was Twitter.
It was what RJ did back in the day
in high school
against his team, where he was like, "This is my house. This is my house.
I'm number one."
Yeah, he hit the game winning shot. And, you know, maybe Naz Reid was like, "Oh, I'm gonna show you, RJ. So if there's any time where I might not like what you're doing, I'm just gonna give you a little shove." And that's what happened with Naz Reid, you know, unnecessarily.
I'm glad he did it in preseason. So like in the regular season, he ain't gonna be doing that.
Yeah, well,
we got him on the scouting report now. We know he's gonna shoot from three.
Yeah, it's preseason, so yeah. I'm not too upset about this. The last thing, I had one more thing that I thought of. The first game, I was talking about Dante DiVincenzo. I didn't really like, you know, his performance in that Boston game. I thought he showed his value in this Minnesota Timberwolves game. I thought Dante really started showing how he can help this team with his ability to tip the ball, get steals, help the team defensively. Sometimes he gambles, but I didn't feel like he over-gambled in this game. And if somebody goes down and his minutes go up, I'm very interested to see how that will help us in the transition in terms of, you know, getting a turnover and RJ Barrett or Jalen Brunson or Julius Randle running on offense and scoring quickly. And we saw a little bit of that against Minnesota.
Yeah, he has great hands and he can be another playmaker off the bench, another shooter off the bench. I think he's just still getting some chemistry with the guys. He hasn't really jumped into the rotation and just meshed well like how Josh Hart did halfway through the season when we traded for him. I don't feel like he had like the same seamless transition onto the roster like Josh Hart did, but that's what preseason is for, to get all the kinks out, get a rhythm, get some chemistry with your guys. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Dante DiVincenzo does this season.
As am I, although I don't think he's going to get a lot of burn unless, you know, Quickly doesn't have it, RJ doesn't have it, Quentin Grimes. I think it requires somebody to have a bad game in order for him to get big minutes. But I am also interested to see how he does.
Well, speaking of DiVincenzo getting a lot of burn, the next game in Boston.
Yep.
Most of our starters sat on the bench. it was a rest day for them. There was no Julius Randle. There was no Jalen Brunson. No RJ Barrett. No Quickly, and no Josh Hart. So Boston, they came out with their starting five, the guys that are going to start this. The regular season against us, they had their whole roster. All their stars were playing. We started with DiVincenzo and Miles McBride. Did I just say somebody's name twice? No, right? I'm bugging?
I don't think you did.
So DiVincenzo was a starter. He went 3 for 10 from three. He's still trying to get the kinks out, but Quentin Grimes is the one who stood out the most to me this game. Led the team with 22 points, hit 7 threes. He was guarding Tatum. He was guarding the best players in Boston. And every time Boston went on a big run to like look like it was about to be a 30-point blowout, the Knicks fought back throughout this whole game. I liked the minutes that I got from McBride. Mitchell Robinson was looking dominant still in some stretches during the game, even though he had to go up against Kristaps Porzingis. we've seen in the past whenever Mitch had to guard like stretch fives, he was kind of like taken out of the game a little bit because he couldn't dominate the glass. But yep. Jericho Sims was also a starter. He finished the game with 10 rebounds. So this was a little bit of like a preview of what we're going to see game one of the regular season. And Boston, they looked ready to start the season. I remember saying that I didn't have any fear in my heart for Boston.
You, a little bit of fear now? Your heart rate might be getting a little bit increased?
I might have a little worry, a little concern.
Right.
But I'm still confident that the Knicks are going to use this game tape to, you know, strategize so that they're not getting so many wide open threes. I think they have this week off to prepare now that the preseason is all over with. So I feel like they're ready to face off against Boston. We're going to get off to a like brutal start because we're going against a lot of playoff teams to start this regular season. We got a few back to backs. Mm-hmm. So I think that they were encouraged by the minutes that they got from the young guys. Nobody really looked bad in this game against Boston. And yeah, what were your thoughts about this game?
I just want to remind you, it's preseason.
Yeah, it's preseason.
Okay. Yes, Boston played very well. But the Knicks did not play. You listed all of the players that the Knicks didn't play. And out of the 9 players that we expect to be getting rotation minutes, we didn't play, was it 5 or 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, everybody who came off the bench isn't going to play this year except for Hartenstein.
Right. Like, I can't say that I have fear, quote unquote, in my heart or that, you know, anything really changes because a game with Jalen Brunson playing well or at least playing in the fourth quarter makes a ton of difference. Mm-hmm. So Boston played very well, but Boston was one of the 3 best teams in the league last year. We expect them to be a top 2 or 3. Well, you said that they weren't going to be top 2. So, but we expect them to be a top 3 team in the league this year.
I'm standing on that too.
They have 2 of the 25 best players in the league, depending on how you feel about Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum is definitely a top 10 player, if not top 5. And, you know, they've added some very good pieces. So, yeah, this team can play very well. The criticism about Boston was never about their players or their talent. It's about the health of the supporting cast beyond Jaylen Brown, beyond Jason Tatum. So if everybody's healthy, as they were for this game in preseason, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. With that being said, very encouraged by the players who did play. Very encouraged by, you know, a lot of people were really complaining about the Jericho Sims minutes that I saw on Twitter. I thought this game was kind of a good way to see how such a thing could work. I noticed that defensively, Jericho Sims made a lot of good rotations, solid rotations defensively. And offensively, I think that once the Knicks get that turnover, they can push the pace, especially with Dante DiVincenzo playing. You don't have to worry about his ability to space the floor because if they put the shot up very quickly, Deuce McBride was putting up the shot very, very quickly. It didn't really matter. You come down, you hit the three, you get to the rim, or you do something, you get the defense scrambling and you put up a shot before they can get set. The fact that Jericho Sims is not a floor spacer doesn't really hurt you. Now, when it starts slowing down, yeah, it's very hard for the players to really get going offensively. But the players who were on the court, a lot of times that Sims was on the court, were mitigating that by just taking the available three that was out there. So all in all, I don't think that this is kind of a thing that we're going to see again. It's preseason. You know, there's not much that we can really look at and say, yeah, we're going to see a lot of this going into the season. I really don't think we will. But very happy to see Deuce play well. He went, I mean, I shouldn't say he played well. He didn't shoot very well. He went 6-for-18 from the field, 2-for-8 from three, but he was confident. He played well to me. He defended well. He wasn't scared. He did some of the things that I really was looking for him to do. And yeah, we got a good look at what some of these guys at the end of the bench can do.
Yeah, what they're capable of. And can't really take too much away from this game, so we could just jump on over to the Washington Wizards game now.
Yeah, you couldn't wait to move over to the Wizards game. First of all, we didn't even say what the score of that Boston Celtics game was. Knicks lost 123-110. And then we went to Washington, and I was like, well, at least we can play Washington and wipe the taste out of our mouths pretty quickly. You know, a lot of the guys who didn't play against Boston, they're going to be playing in this game, and so that should mean a win, because I expect at least one of them to get 30 minutes. Well, the Knicks went up against the Washington Wizards, and it was the Jordan Poole show.
Yeah.
Jordan Poole came to the Garden, dropped a cool 41 on us.
Mm-hmm. Mike Muscala turned into Steph Curry.
That he did.
Hit 5 threes in the first half.
That he did. Everybody really shot, you know, or not, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of the Washington Wizards shot very well. Jordan Poole, 50%, 6-for-12 from three. Tyus Jones hit 1 3, but he only shot twice. Mike Muscala, 5-for-7. DeLon Wright, 1-for-2. Like, everybody, they shot a lot of threes, and they hit them at a pretty decent percentage. 20-for-45 for the Washington Wizards in that game. Even Taj Gibson, former Knick, once a Knick, always a Knick, Taj Gibson, hit a 3 on us at the end of the game. Hey, really just let you know, yeah, this game is really over, because they're hitting threes at a rate that y'all can't compete with. A lot of poor closeouts by the Knicks, I would say, in this game.
Yeah. There wasn't a real defensive intensity this game. Like, I don't really feel like the Knicks showed up and wanted to, like, play hard and actually compete this game.
Yes.
They were just trying to get low. A little rhythm going for themselves.
Which is very weird, because as I said earlier, in one of the earlier podcasts, that Tom Thibodeau likes to treat the last preseason game kind of similar to how he would treat a regular season game, but it didn't feel like the players came in that way.
Right.
Julius Randle started the game very well, had a beautiful dunk.
Body.
Beautiful dunk. I don't remember who he put on the floor in the casket and went and dug him into the dirt and put him in the underneath the arena, but
yeah.
whoever it was, rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson didn't really play well. Went 3-for-12. I feel like maybe he's trying to figure out ways that he can improve his game without shooting and scoring. Mm-hmm. A lot of interesting decisions made as far as whether to shoot or to pass, I'll say. I wouldn't say necessarily bad decisions, but probably not the best decision. Quentin Grimes only shot 4 times. Speaking of Quentin Grimes, he went off in one of the previous games. I can't remember if it was the Boston game.
7 threes.
Oh, man.
And then this game, he only gets 4 shots.
Yeah, and then that kind of inconsistency by Quentin Grimes, I feel like it can't really happen. Like, he doesn't need to shoot 25 times or 20 times in a game, but he can't shoot 4 times in a game.
Right.
Especially against the team who was bombing from three. Like, he really need, and even in those 3-point attempts, he only made 1, which, you know, if he gets those threes up a little bit more and he gets more confident and all that stuff, that percentage goes up. But this is the type of game that people who are not really high on Quentin Grimes, this is what they look at and say, like, if he's only going to shoot 4 times, but then other people will say, got to get him the ball.
Yeah, he was open a lot, and he never got to see the ball. It seemed like anytime someone was driving, they were just looking to pass it to whoever was the big man at the time. And they would be missing a wide-open Jalen Brunson in the corner or a wide-open Quentin Grimes in the corner, and that's stuff that they're going to just review with film. And it's just a matter of getting the reps back in, and they're going to be practicing a lot this week. So I feel like a lot of these issues that they had, it's good that we had a bad preseason, because Julius Randle said after this game, like, if there's a time to be making these mistakes, it is preseason.
Correct.
So now they got the film to look at to right their wrongs, and to start the season, they know what they're doing wrong, for sure.
I will say that if you can glean anything from preseason, that it's that Mitchell Robinson is definitely ready.
Definitely.
And he has made improvements every year he's been in the league, and I would not be surprised to see him make that next leap. You know, I don't think he'll ever be an all-star. I don't think he'll ever make an all-NBA. But as far as consideration for maybe defensive player of the year.
Or all defense.
All defense, maybe. I can see it. I'm not saying that. I'm not calling it. I'm not putting money down, right? I'm not putting money down on it. But we see how effective he can be on the defensive end. We see how important he is on the offensive end as far as getting offensive rebounds, as far as getting putbacks, as far as just being that cleanup guy. Even in this game, when R.J. Barrett, who wouldn't say had a bad game, but he missed a lot. Well, he missed a decent amount of shots, you know, and Mitchell Robinson was right there to clean it up. And, you know, on the other side, he also put up a couple of lobs for Mitch in this game. And he put him down, and he put him down effortlessly. He did what he was supposed to do. That duo right there, I want to see a lot more of RJ and Mitch on the court and seeing how they just, you know, work together. Mostly Mitch cleaning up either RJ's misses or benefiting from some of those lobs. Sure. Anything else from this game that you feel like we should touch on?
Not this game specifically. I was just pissed off that Jordan Poole went off for 41 and then the next game only makes one field goal against the Toronto Raptors. It's just like, this is another example of the Garden effect. Yeah. Even though Jordan, I told you coming into this game that like the Wizards did put a little bit of a nice roster together. I did like Jordan Poole coming in, and I knew he was going to light up, but you can't go off of 41 points and then go 1-for-8 against Toronto the next game. It's just like, come on.
Sure you can, because he did it. One thing that I forgot to mention, Emmanuel Quickley did not play in this game.
Right.
I'm not really sure. Did they say why? Or like, I see on...
He's a little nicked up.
Quote-unquote nicked up. Okay, because I did see DNP coach's decision, but I wasn't sure if that was accurate. We definitely missed him in this game, or at least the good version of Emmanuel Quickley. Definitely would have helped. I think that if the game was a little bit closer to start the fourth quarter, that we would have seen more Jalen Brunson. We would have seen more Julius Randle. RJ Barrett was the only player to get over 30 minutes in this game. And at the end of the game, it was just kind of like, all right, let's put some of these other guys, Evan Fournier, get some of these back of the rotation players, get them some burn. Yeah, you know, we could have played hard and tried to get the win, but it's preseason, so let's not push it. Let's save these guys' legs for the regular season game. But Emmanuel Quickley's presence was definitely missed. A lot of, like I said earlier, poor defensive rotations, a lot of guys blowing by guys, getting ready to shoot the three, and Quickley wouldn't have done that. So he would have been one more defensive guy that we have on this team who really would have helped us on that end of the court and made this a closer game towards the end of the stretch, towards the end of the game.
For sure.
Last week I predicted 3 victories in the preseason, mm-hmm. and I was completely wrong. Yep. We lost 3 games, actually, out of the 4. Yep. French, you get credit for predicting the Washington L, so I'm going to clap it up for you, sir. and
if I knew we wasn't going to be playing our starters against Boston, I'd have predicted that L, too.
I mean, it was, you know, very much a flip-flop of what I said. I thought that Boston was going to play their guys in the first game and not so much in the second game.
Yeah.
And I thought the Knicks were probably not going to play guys in the first game, but play all their guys in the second game. But, yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad the preseason's over. That's all I care about.
Let's get to that reg season, sir.
Speaking of the regular season, the Knicks will face off against Boston on Wednesday, October 25th at Madison Square Garden. There's no injuries on either side. We're both healthy. Both lineups are going to be in full display against each other. And my Knicks take for this game, the Celtics seem to struggle dealing the knockout blow against the reserves that were playing against them in this preseason. Mm-hmm. It looked like Boston was coming like full strength and trying to play like how they would play during the regular season, and they just couldn't get rid of the young Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
I think with that and the fact that they heavily relied on the three-point shot that game, and now that we have a week of preseason to review tape, and Tibbs, you know, he's in the gym right now, either reviewing tape or having the team go through all type of scrimmages and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
to practice and prepare for this matchup. I think the Knicks are prepared to come to the Garden and make them uncomfortable, not give up any wide open threes, hopefully. And I think we're going to open the season with a W at home.
That's your Knicks take, huh?
Yeah.
So my take is that the Knicks will continue the yearly tradition of winning their home opener by beating the Boston Celtics. So we're in agreement.
Okay.
Tibbs only has lost one home opener since he's been the head coach of the Knicks, and that was his first one. If they win, it'll be their fourth straight victory over the Boston Celtics in the regular season. So this is not something that we should kind of take lightly as far as the Knicks winning. Four straight wins over the Boston Celtics, who made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's really going to say a lot about the Knicks, I believe. I really think that starting off the year that way is really going to be a boon for this team. It's really going to put some energy on Knicks fans as far as, okay, you know, that preseason was whatever it was, but we start off the year like this, let's go. And I think it's going to be important just moving forward as far as getting that respect that we deserve. You said that the Knicks were going to win 50.
I'm standing on it. 50 wins.
Okay.
Even though we had a bad preseason. Because Milwaukee went 0-5 last preseason and had the best record in the NBA. So preseason matters, but the record in the preseason doesn't really matter.
I think that this game, winning this game is going to be very important to get into that 50.
Okay.
Even though it's the first game, and usually the first game ain't really that important, but I think getting off to that kind of start and getting one of, you know, they're going to play Boston four times this year. We need to get at least one, and I think starting off with the first one, you have three more games to get another one to at least make it 2-2. So that's how we'll get to 50.
I envision a long winning streak this year, and that's how we're going to get to that 50. I don't know if this game is going to be the determining factor of how we're going to finish the season, because the Knicks get better throughout the season every year. Like, even if we get up to a slow start, they always go on some type of crazy run, if not multiple runs throughout the season, where they go on a winning streak. And I envision
how long
that prediction. What did you just say?
How long? Pause.
I see at least a 15-game winning streak this season.
15?
Yeah.
Blood clot. All right. So 15, I don't know.
I see it.
I'm going to have to look at the schedule. I'm going to pull the tape up next week. And I'm going to ask you, where in the season do you see 15 straight wins?
I can tell you.
I'm going to put the schedule on the camera. All right. Yeah, 15, that's quite a lot. All right, we're done with Boston. So following that game on Friday, October 27th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, the New York Knicks will face the Atlanta Hawks. At the time of the recording, neither team has injuries. I honestly could see Atlanta taking this one.
Why is that?
Why do I see Atlanta taking this one? Well, last season, they won 7 of their first 10 games. Mm-hmm. If you remember last season, actually, Atlanta was probably one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't remember if they made it to that first seed spot, but they were up there for 1, 2, or 3 in that first 10 games. The Knicks were struggling during that early part of the season. Part of those 7 wins, they had a crushing defeat over the New York Knicks, mm-hmm. last season. And Now they have replaced John Collins with Sadiq Bey in that starting lineup. They have a pretty good, solid rotation. There's, like I said earlier, no injuries for that team, and I think injuries played a little decent role in why they were so inconsistent last year. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Atlanta taking it. Trae Young is one of those guys who can just go off. And if he goes off, it's going to be very hard for the Knicks to deal with, especially if they're playing if they play defense the way that they have in the preseason, which they did. It's not just a preseason thing. That whole blow-by defensive strategy that some of these players who don't make that correct defensive rotation, that's going to be something that we see for a decent amount of the time this year. And if that happens in this game and Trae Young is hitting from all over the court and splashing threes and doing his little shimmy and going like this and rubbing his arms, talking about his cold, that would be how the Hawks would win this game. Not saying that the Knicks can't win this game, just saying, like, I can see Atlanta win this game, and I'm going to predict that they will. The Knicks don't usually start off their years scorching hot. So if I think that they're going to beat the Celtics, I think that they're going to view Atlanta as kind of slim pickings, kind of look at them the way that they probably looked at the Wizards in that second half of the back-to-back and say, oh, yeah, we can win this one. This is not, you know, this is kind of easy. And Atlanta will catch them by surprise, and it's really going to be on whether Jalen Brunson really plays the way that we know he's capable of and matches Trae Young. Because then I think after that, the Knicks are a better team, you know, throughout the rest of the roster.
I disagree with you mainly because ever since we made that lineup change where Evan Fournier and Derrick Rose and all these guys came out of the lineup and Quentin Grimes became a starter, Trae Young hasn't really gone off against the Knicks because Quentin Grimes has had him on smash in each matchup off the top of my memory. I'm trying to look up the games that they played, but early in the season, I remember Quentin Grimes was coming off the bench. So I feel like that's the reason they could have won that game. But in the matchup since then, the Knicks, let's see. They won the last match, or no. Let me stop trying to talk and read at the same time. But
you know you're terrible at reading.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like Quentin Grimes is going to have him on smash. If we do lose, it'll mainly probably be because of the supporting cast. Maybe DeJounte Murray goes off because Jalen Brunson's going to be guarding him. Or I don't know. I see us winning this game, though. I see us going down to Atlanta, having them get the foot in the ass in front of their home crowd. And I see Jalen Brunson having a good game because I don't see DeJounte Murray stopping him. I don't see Trae Young even remotely doing anything to stop him. Mm-hmm. And if Jalen Brunson's not going off, they don't really have an answer for Julius Randle. They don't really have an answer for keeping Mitch off the glass. I don't know if Clint Capella is going to still be the same Clint Capella he was against us in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's something else I kind of wanted to bring up. I always said if the Knicks had a healthy Mitchell Robinson in the Atlanta series, maybe they don't win 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, however long ago that was. Maybe they don't win the series, but they don't go out the way that they did.
Yeah.
They went out sad against Atlanta. And I think a part of it had to do with they didn't have Mitchell Robinson there on both ends of the court. Nerlens Noel was bobbling the ball. He wasn't his defensive self. He was letting Clint Capella style on him.
Yeah. He was talking crazy that summer too.
And if Mitch was there, that wouldn't have happened. So although it ended up being a blessing in disguise, Mitch came back, he bulked up. Although that season, it wasn't really great. He was still moving slow. He didn't really do a lot of cardio. But now that started the transformation to the Mitch that we see today. And he seems a little sturdier. Hopefully he can show that he's even more sturdy this season than he was last season. Mm-hmm. He definitely looks strong. He looks like he's regained his quickness. His defensive rotations look on point. And Mitchell Robinson looks like he's ready to go and good to go. And if he's that Mitch, there's no Trae Young, Clint Capella connection that's going to be happening like that because right. Mitch is going to be on it.
Yeah, it's going to come down to just perimeter shooting. Probably Bogdanović could go off, but
right.
If we keep them at bay with the perimeter shooting, I don't see how Atlanta could really match up with us. So
I mean,
I'm going to pick the Knicks.
They have a very solid team. I would say that they have, you know, they have a kind of deep team. I don't know about the cohesiveness. I don't know about the coach and all of that stuff. There's some other things that make Atlanta not really, I don't consider them like going to be a top five team in the East. Mm-hmm. But if they end up top five, if they end up with a fifth seed, fourth seed, I wouldn't be surprised because I do think that they have good scorers. They have a couple of good defenders and they have a decent rotation. So you know, I looked at their roster before we came in and I said, okay, yeah, yeah. Decent team. I could see them winning.
This is going to be one of those games that we foreshadow that's going to lead to the 50 wins because we're going to beat up on the teams that we're supposed to beat up on, and Atlanta's one of those teams. That's my prediction.
All right. So I'm going to ask you for one more prediction, sir.
What's that?
I'm going to pull up the Knicks schedule for the regular season, and then we're just going to talk about the month of... We're going to talk about the rest of the month of October.
Okay.
We've already did the Celtics. We've already done the Hawks.
New Orleans and
you
Cleveland.
Said 2-0 for those two.
Yep.
Now, we're going to talk about this more in depth, but I just want to hear New Orleans and Cleveland. Do you have them winning both of those games? Do you have them splitting those games? Don't tell me specifically your prediction.
Mm-hmm.
But are the Knicks going to go 4-0?
In the month of October, I see the Knicks being undefeated.
Huh. Well, you already caught me saying that they're going to lose one against the Hawks. And I could see them losing one more. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
And if you want to know which one of those other games that I think they're going to lose, check us out next week on the Knicks Take Podcast, episode 60. And I'll give you my full predictions, as will French.
Yes, sir.
French, do you have anything else that you would like to talk about, sir?
No, we could bid adieu.
Okay, we will bid adieu then.
So we'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take Podcast. Please make sure you mention to your friends, family, tell them to subscribe, tell them to check us out on all streaming platforms. Give us that 5-star rating, give us a thumbs up. Anything that you can do to help us will be greatly appreciated and will help us build our fan base. Thank you guys. Peace out.
Peace.
The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do?